We were due to have a plenary session today with Ole Milgaard, who is not here with us. And I'd like to start by thanking Leif Lundsman for taking his place. I think, Leif, you are aware that with our colleagues in Danish radio, we share their bewilderment at the demise of such an important part of your primary platform. And I know that you are aware that when you've spoken about finding and developing new platforms, colleagues here would like to have the opportunity to enter into a dialogue with you on the substantive issue which is at the back of our minds here this week. So without any further ado, Leif will speak. You will then have an opportunity to enter into discussion with him. And again, my thanks to you for coming here today and taking Ole's place, and over to you.
Thanks very much. Things have changed recently in Danish Broadcasting Corporation, as you know. Ole Mølgaard was asked to give a 50-minute speech on radio before and in the future. I accepted to take his role and do the presentation, and prepared for that. Yesterday we decided to reduce my presentation, I feel that there is an urgent need amongst you to discuss all other issues, which is the present instead of the history and the future. No matter, we shouldn't hide our past, we shouldn't forget about the future. So I'll do the presentation. I hope you bear over with me for doing that. I reduce it according to the recent situation so that you can ask the questions you like to ask, and I can answer those of them I can answer. But here comes the presentation. I was asked to talk about the future of radio. And as I said, in order to understand the future, it's usually clever to take a look at history to better understand where we came from and what brought us here. Therefore, allow me to take you on a trip through the history of radio, from its glorious past to what I find an exciting and a promising future. Radio, the history of radio can't be explained without the sound of radio throughout history. So let's start paying an ear to the voices of radio of the past.
Дивостного тромбола. И мысли уже глупой мысли отделись от мне, и пусть здесь свят безземные, его властитель. Забавные помыслы мои люди. До правды, трудности нет в этой дивной ситуации, которые нагле глаз панат у судского си знаете. Воображен совестного забавного хвиля, где я здесь ананас скорбал на кренте, трубка на тисне, якость тромба.
It's starting to rain again. The rain had slacked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It's burst into flames.
Get it started, get it started. It's fire and it's crashing. It's crashing terrible. Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning and bursting into flames and it's falling on the morning fast, and all the folks agree that this is terrible. This is the one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, four or 500 feet into the sky, and it's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the passengers screaming around me. I told you, I can't even talk to people whose friends are out there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, it's just like there are massive smoking wreckage. And everybody can't hardly breathe and talk and screaming. Lady, I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars.
I am speaking to you from the cabinet room at 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note, stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
Combattenti di terra, di mare, dell'aria, camicie della rivoluzione e delle legioni, uomini e donne d'Italia, dell'impero e del regno d'Albania, ascoltate!
Tu Polskie Radio Warszawa. Podajemy komunikat specjalny. Niemcy skapitulowały.
Two thousand years ago, the proudest boast was Civis Romanus Sum. Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is Ich bin ein Berliner.
Eine Stunde später, hunderte von Menschen drängen sich auf der Mauer, sie klettern in Richtung Brandenburger Tor runter, von der Ostberliner Seite strömen die Menschen. Eine Kette bildet sich, Hand in Hand, ein Tanz um das Brandenburger Tor. Die Volkspolizei schaut zu, erstmal. Auf Ostberliner Seite fahren im Hintergrund große Fahrzeuge auf, einer davon ist ein Lautsprecherwagen. Es wird still, fast alle klettern zurück, nicht über, auf die Mauer. Dann die Reaktion.
We have triumphed in the effort to implant hope in the breasts of millions of our people. We enter into a covenant that we shall build the society in which all South Africans, both black and white, will be able to walk tall without any fear in their hearts, assured of their inalienable right to human dignity, a rainbow nation at peace with itself and the world.
A century gone, the 20th century. Two world wars, two ideologies, many heroes, many crimes, millions of victims, millions of voices. We know history mainly from written sources, but the 20th century was the first one to be not only reported but also recorded. Thus, we do not only know what happened, we know the sounds of what happened. We know what people said, but we also know how they said it. We heard the voices of the leaders and the tyrants. We heard the hopes and cries of the crowds and the screams of the victims. We heard the birth of new ideas and nations, and we heard bombs falling as they fall. This is the merit of radio, to help us create a common memory of the past and present in order to learn, understand, connect, and shape a better future together. Old radio gave us all the moving, memorable moments of the past century. Radio tied us together across social, geographical, and national boundaries. How is the development towards new radio in the next century? From being a centralized state authority, radio in the 30s and 40s was taken to the heart by the populations, becoming the first true mass medium ever. More and more people listened, more and more to more and more channels as the medium matured. Television seemed to threaten the pictureless pioneer in the mid-century, but radio survived as a hand and eye-free alternative to newspapers and television. There have been some restrictions and setbacks on the cultural and democratic potential of radio. Radio was from the beginning strictly controlled by the state, and thus sometimes merely the voice of the government. Radio was one-way communication and didn't call for dialogue. Its approach was more or less paternalistic, its mission being to elevate the taste and morals of the populations. It was very formal and authoritative, maybe even authoritarian. It was only in the last part of the 20th century that radio slowly opened up to the listeners, to the market, to the popular taste, to the regional, cultural, and social minorities, to dissident voices, to two-way communication. The 70s and 80s saw a wave of decentralization and democratization, and some would even say commercialization of the medium. And that all gave the old medium a popular renaissance at the end of the century, as what is called nowadays a multi-channel, multi-market, multi-platform phenomenon. And by the end of the century, a few years ago, radio was still, some would say, the most widespread, the most trusted, and the most used mass medium across the world. A sound business generating more revenue than ever, reaching more listeners than ever, with more channels than ever, that could be received on more devices than ever. If one or I was asked to describe the strength of 20th century radio in a one-line sentence, my suggestion would be that radio broke down physical distance. Music from concert halls all over the world was brought directly to the homes, making the living room our personal concert hall. Sports events arrived directly to the sofa. New and provoking thoughts and reflections flew through the air and landed right in our ears and what's behind the ears, the brains and hearts. Radio stars and storytellers entered the hearts and brains of all of us, whether in our bedroom, kitchen, or car. Political speeches and announcements got delivered unfiltered to the citizens. Information, enlightenment, and the true education was brought to the doorstep of every man, everywhere, every day by radio. Now, what kind of a century is the 21st century going to be for good old radio? The last, some would say, or the biggest, others would say. I subscribe to the latter prognosis. How many radio stations will we have access to in the years to come? What will be on them, and how will we use them? What is new radio, or Radio 2.0, as it's called sometimes, going to be and sound like? The future, I must say here, is always unpredictable. The only thing you can predict for sure is that your predictions will be false or at best inaccurate. So please don't quote me 20 years from now. One of my own favorite mispredictions of the future is the one about television in the year 2000, forecasted in 1970 by a group of media researchers. In the year 2000, they proclaimed, every household will be able to receive up to 50 television channels. Pretty accurate, actually. That's what we can receive today. In the 1970, when they did the prognosis, they had access to one or two channels only. The misprediction was not that. It was that the observation went on like this. But the access to 50 television channels by the year 2000 will have no effect at all on the viewing, because it will take a whole evening to navigate through the lot. And here it comes. Who will rise from the chair 50 times an evening to change channel? They spoke in 70. When I tell my colleagues that 20 years from now we'll all have access to thousands of radio channels, they put the same question. Yes, technically spoken, perhaps. But how will you be able to browse, find, and choose what you want? It'll take an evening to find your local news. No, there'll be an answer to that. Just like the remote control became the key to multi-channel television, and the World Wide Web became the tool for internet search. On tomorrow's radio receiver, I'll be able to browse through a display, search by artist, genre, country, or item, just like Googling the internet. Radio is, as are all media these days, in a transition period, from analog to digital, from flow to demand, from one-way to two-way. DAB, radio on demand, internet radio, podcasting, or even pod radio and different forms of so-called e-radio, enhanced radio, or i-radio, interactive radio, are ready to either take over or enhance the experience of radio. The feature of absolute individualization of the media is already there. I don't know if you are familiar with Pandora, www.pandora.com. By simple one-button remote voting, you can create your own 24-hour radio station at Pandora. You could even have one station for the morning, one for the daytime, one for the evening, and if you so wish, your very own party channel or channels or feature channels. I believe the next wave of development of radio will be, as for other media, the personalization or Pandorization, as it's called sometimes, of radio. Perhaps combined with the newer trends, participation, networking, and personal contribution. Words like block radio and wiki radio or wiki media might be up around the corner. One thing is certain, there'll be a lot of castings. And there will be sound in it. The great thing of broadcasting is that it can bring one show to millions of people, but it can't do the opposite, bring a million shows to each person. But that's exactly what the internet does so well, and why should radio listeners not want the same range of choice as internet users? Mass media is becoming masses of media, and we're moving from push media, where the editor we push the content out to listeners, and into pull media, where the listeners pull the content they want from a variety of sources. Now, what are the options for features and documentaries in this fragmented radio world, you would ask? Is it transition from traditional simultaneously consumed broadcasts to individually consumed person casts an opportunity or a threat to traditional storytelling on radio? I believe that individual radio is more an opportunity than a threat. The 60-minute feature, meant for concentrated, uninterrupted listening, has no big chance in the life of modern radio listeners. Radio is mostly listened to as a secondary activity, as something being in the background, only occasionally catching the attention of modern listeners. With no rewind or pause function, and only one or two departures per week on a timely schedule, far too many people will miss the programs. Being able to search and browse for programs, cut and paste them to your iPod, listen, pause, browse, rewind, and repeat, the experiences fit much more into modern media use for the coming generations. And being able to share, swap, forward, and exchange, and perhaps add and edit the stories may live longer among the listeners. Think of Napster, that brought music much farther and faster around than record stores or radio stations ever managed. Moreover, tomorrow's media user will not just hear or listen to the stories. They will interact, influence. Yes, they'll shape the stories themselves. Should we fear this? Why? It's the democratization of story and storytelling and history telling. The long-needed opening up of the media. The transformation of radio from a means of distribution to a means of communication. To quote Bertolt Brecht from his Radio Theorie from 1936, I believe. Hörer sollen zum Mitspieler werden. The listeners shall become participants, said Brecht. The concept of mass market turning into a mass of niches is actually not new, really. I remember the founder of BBC, the proud forefather of all public service broadcasting, the British Broadcasting Corporation, Lord Reith, the founder of that institution. He was quoted for not accepting the term the audience. He insisted throughout his life that there was no such entity as the audience. The public, said Reith, consists of a multitude of small audiences, which together constitutes the public. After all, the role of radio is not new. It's just the way to deliver and interact with the listeners that'll change. The role of the broadcasters is simple: to produce content, bring it out where the listeners are, and make it easy for them to find it. As radio and television journalist Ed Murrow said, radio can teach, illuminate, inspire, if listened to. Otherwise, it's just wires in a box. I'll give you the last word of this presentation to a voice of the past, to a man of wisdom who knew to praise the radio and who already in its glorious past saw the possibilities in its exciting future.
Verehrte Ahn und Abwesende, wenn ihr den Rundfunk hört, so denkt auch daran, wie die Menschen in den Besitz dieses wunderbaren Werkzeuges der Mitteilung gekommen sind. Der Urquell aller technischen Errungenschaften ist die göttliche Neugier und der Spieltrieb des bastelnden und grübelnden Forschers und nicht minder die konstruktive Fantasie des technischen Erfinders.
Thanks very much. And now to, I guess you're impatient to get to what's on top of your mind these days. I would allow, if Lorelei will, a few questions to this presentation, if you like that. But it's not my decision. I'm at your disposal, and Lorelei will take the chair.
Thank you very much, Leif, for coming here and sharing your vision of the future of radio with us. It's certainly thought-provoking and provocative, and let me throw it over to you. Who would like to? And Lisbeth and Jesper have radio mics, so if you can wait until the microphone gets to Wolfgang.
So only a simple question. We have a tendency everywhere in the world that in your philosophy you describe a future of radio with tools of distribution, but not with contents. And we have this discussion everywhere in Europe, in the Cultural Channel, and the responsible persons for Cultural Channel, that's right. And I'm always wondering why you know that listeners are not able to listen 1 hour for a program. We have other studies in Germany and our listeners, and we have other experience with our listeners. And all these people say to us, so I like it very much. If it is interesting, if it is well made, I forget the time listening to that. And I'm sitting in a car, and I'm sitting and sitting until the program is ended. So we have very positive reactions of young people, of middle-aged people, of older people to this kind of radio making. And another thing is, and this is a danger, I think, this is not a choice of different programs. We have in Berlin a lot of different channels, commercial channels, and they broadcast always the same. We have no decision to have a choice. It's always the same. So it's a danger in this.
Thank you. Kari?
I'm Kari Hestama from NRK Norway, and I actually don't think that we would have had a radio documentary group in Norway if it wasn't for the Danes, because we've learned so incredibly much of you. And I'm not only concerned that you remove a whole genre, because you remove a lot more, in my opinion, also quality in other programs. What we, from beginning of, learned from you, we now pass on to other departments at NRK, so I'm a bit worried about the other consequences of removing the montage and the documentary group as well. And as far as I know, you used to work in PUC, and you used people from the documentary group to develop new programs because they were so good at what they were doing, and they had tools and they had education.
I would like to distinguish between my considerations on the future of radio and the move from flow to demand and so on, etc., and the actual decision on closing down the feature group, because those two things have nothing in common. We do not, as I said at the opening, we do not close the feature group due to any prognosis of media behavior in the future, not due to any editorial considerations about the quality nor the potential of the radio documentary. We did it, and I repeated it twice, and I do it again, by pure financial reasons. We simply cannot pay for the coming years. It has nothing to do, it was not based upon any prognosis that there would be no demand for storytelling on radio in the future. There will. And getting back to the first question then, there will be a demand for content. That's what I said. I said that the role of the radio stations is still, the broadcaster is still the same, is to produce content. The new role is to make it available, to go from broadcasting to making available. I also meet young listeners, and I meet listeners every week. I've done so for 20 years soon. I meet more listeners who listened to radio features and documentaries and 60-hour-long programs on their iPods than on the radio at a certain time schedule. It simply doesn't fit into the everyday life of the listeners. But when we made it possible for them to download it to their MP3 players or their iPods, I believe that we entered a door into new generations of listeners. And I meet that kind of listeners. So content is still king. But convenience is the pope or whoever is above the king. And the new media is the glue that combines the two, content with convenience. I very rarely meet radio listeners who knows the schedules of individual program titles. But I meet a lot of listeners who know where to find it if we make it available, as we do with the features as well in DR, for podcasts, for downloads, etc., as we do on our homepage. So,
Wolfgang, may I ask you, there are a lot of people who want to talk. May I ask you to keep your remarks brief and to the point so that we can get a clearer view? Walter.
Yeah, Walter from SWR Germany. Just a remark, if the reason to cut down the feature department is just the money, that means the reason why you had a feature department was just the money. We had the money, we can do it. We don't have the money anymore, we can't do it. So if we do something just because we have the money, it must be luxury. So the intention is, I think so, the intention is to say feature is a luxury department. It's not basic journalistic, it's not basic radio, it's not what we have to do in basic. And that leads back to that what Wolfgang Bauernfeind says. Let's talk about contents. I think there is a change in contents. And this change in contents isn't a change in how much money do we have.
Carolyn?
Yes, hello, I'm Carolyn Warren from the CBC. And in Canada, we have for many years now been exploring a lot of the issues that you have been describing in your presentation in terms of multi-platforms. And we're very advanced, in fact, now in our ideas of how programs can live on the net and on the terrestrial schedule, as we call it, and on CD and other methods of distribution. But one of the very surprising revelations to my senior management group when they began experimenting with programs that were podcasted and downloaded was that consistently the 60-minute documentary feature was the most downloaded, podcasted programming that we were putting on the net. The other astounding thing to the management group, although not to us, was that the demographic of people downloading and listening to those long and in some cases quite, you know, dense documentary programs were the ever sought after 35 to 49-year-olds and younger. And it is now considered by the management group that they actually have to rethink some of their strategy about documentary storytelling in light of the obvious appetite from these young people for this kind of programming. Quickly, one last thing I would also say is that the result of the youth downloading and podcasting these programs has in fact driven them back to the terrestrial schedule. So I would be curious about your research on that front. We have done a great deal of it, and it's an ongoing process. But the linking of internet back to the schedule has created listening by appointment, which I think we were surprised to discover.
Would you like to respond?
Yeah, I can do that. I take the latter first. Caroline, it's not astounding to us. We started podcasting the spoken word program because that was out of lack of agreements with the copyright owners. So we didn't own the rights for music, which we believed would be the most popular. So we did it just for testing the technology, actually, with spoken word programs. And we were astounded in the beginning, that's why I'm not now, that they grew in popularity. Actually, last month's figures for downloaded podcasts from Danish Broadcasting Corporation was a reading of The Iliad by Homer. He has been dead long enough to not hold his copyrights. So we could do that, and he simply got 45,000 downloads in a month, and we would never reach that even with I don't know how many rebroadcasts on the schedule. We would never read figures like this. So I'm very aware, and we also discovered mainly through our children radio shows that they were not listened to on schedule. Children simply didn't remember 102.3 megahertz Wednesday evening 6:30 if they were going to find a radio piece of interest on the adults channel. But when we made it available on demand formats, the children got back to listen to storytelling. And that would lead them back to radio, but I believe to radio channels. That's why we have introduced two 24-hour radio channels for children only. They will never find back to 18:30 on 102.3 megahertz Wednesday evening, I believe. So I'm not astounded by this. I must say to Walter that we do nothing for luxury. If we did what we needed to do for our money and we still had money left, we would pay it back to the license fee payers. So what we did when we had 1.8 billion Danish kroner, which is equivalent of, 250 million euros alike, when we had 250 million euros to do programs for, we spent it all on needs that we wanted, not on luxury. Now we have 287 million Danish kroner, which is equivalent of 20 million less. And we have to cut, not luxury, we have to cut into the basic core of our programs. That goes for features, that goes for all the other cuts we did.
Okay, there are a lot of people who want to get in now. This gentleman here, then Kay, Ronan and Elizabeth.
My name is Tom Heinemann. I'm a freelance journalist, occasionally working for the documentary department and other current affairs program here in National Danish Radio. Mr. Lundsman, tell me about the figures of the amount of listeners tuning in on the documentary zone every week. Is that growing or falling? I'm asking because you said that nobody wants to listen to a one-hour program anymore.
It's growing.
It's growing. So why are you telling me that nobody wants to listen to it?
I'm talking about in the future, people would. I'm talking about. I try to describe a future trend that if you have two options, one is listening Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, or to download it. People would prefer downloading it. That's what I mean by the trends moving away from listening to 1 hour time scheduled tide.
So you have changed your mind dramatically since 2000, where you handed out the Krieger Prize to the documentary group, which I was a part of at that time, when you said that this is the most unique blah, 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 and we should go on for 1 hour programs. You have changed your mind dramatically over this last 6 years.
No.
No?
No, but I have less money.
No, but I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your statement saying that nobody wants to listen to a one-hour program. Then I'm asking you, what is the figures of listeners? Is that rising or falling?
The overall figures of P1 listening is falling. No, it's actually growing. Sorry, it's growing. P1, the spoken word channel, is the third biggest radio station in this country. And that's where the features are broadcast. So the overall success of the channel gives payment to all genres. That's not contradictory to the trend that if people could download it, they would prefer that in the future rather than wait until next Saturday. And they would like to browse in your archives as they can and at the internet instead of just listening in the Saturdays. And that's what I said 6 years ago, and even 12 years ago, I believe, or 8 at least, I said that 60 minutes primary activity radio listening to a linear dramaturgic story is falling.
We have a K for a question here, and afterwards a colleague from Bulgaria and a colleague from Estonia.
Hang on a minute, Lisbeth. There are other people who are kind of waiting as well.
Okay. My name is Kay Mortley. I'm an independent producer from Paris. I'm Australian. As I understood this radio of the future, which you're outlining, it's internet, podcasting with very large audience and very many choices. But with the abolition of the features group, what will there be to be broadcast? Archives? Is it a sort of an archival, a giant archive of the past? Will all creation, creative radio be stopped?
You mean in the future?
Yes.
And this, the time flow from now, I didn't get it quite.
What will be broadcast? To be broadcast, except things from and downloaded and played with archives from the past. It will be like a sort of a mausoleum to some other time.
Yeah. Can I do this now? One of the major contributions that the radio of the present gives to the future is what the past gave to the present, which I gave you a piece of some pieces of. These were not documentaries. Most of this was news clips. There'll be lots of sounds. We'll produce 100 hours a day of original radio broadcasting. For the time being, we don't have the money to produce features. There'll be plenty of new production each day, 100 hours. I share the sadness that you all share, that we cannot produce features for the time being. There's a lot of stuff we can't do. We can't do sports. We can't do entertainment. That's 287 million kronas worthy, not luxury, worthy production that we cannot produce for years to come, unfortunately. Go on.
Okay, Ronan, and then... Sorry, can we just... Can I give the microphone first to our Estonian colleague?
From Estonia on radio, and we have in Estonia maybe some experiences with low budget programming, because our budget is not about billions and billions, but it is something 8 million euros a year for all our four programs. What do you think? What is your suggestion for us when we have think about developing a radio feature department in Estonia? Is it stupid or impossible thing? What you think? Our second plan in Estonia is to build a new broadcasting house. Is it?
I understand the second decision if you only have 80 million euros per year. Luckily, we are much richer. So even after building, we have many times as much money as you have. And I think it's a good idea. If you can manage to pay for features, it would be a good idea if we could manage to pay for what we produced last year again. What else could
Daniela.
I'm Daniela Manolo from Bulgaria National Radio. Could you please explain to me personally, because I admired a lot the new building here. Really, for me, it is the dream of the dreams to work in such a building, but I cannot close my eyes in front of the contradiction. Why to cut one of the basic things in the radio and to have such a fantastic building? For me, there is a basic contradiction between these two things.
I understand you see it this way because you look at the present, at the building, and the decision. They are falling in the same... You see the same house the same week as you hear about the features, but there is no causal interrelationship between decision of building a house and the decision of closing down the feature group. It's not that we said, we'll cut down features in order to build a house. We couldn't barely pay... brick in the wall for what the features costs, actually. We decided to build the house for the coming 50 or 70 years, and we believed that we could keep our budgets in the future as well. It showed that we couldn't.
Yeah, but for me, producing documentaries is also one of the basic aim for this building also, because you are creating the future with a wonderful building, but you are putting a big question on the future with closing such an important thing as documentaries.
Comment that maybe could cover some of the other questions that come. I used the phrase the other day that as you are doing creative editing and killing your darlings, we are doing managerial or financial editing, killing some of our darlings. And I would be open. I can't dig into what should we have closed down either, because I don't want to stand here and propose that we should have kicked out our orchestras or kicked out our news journalists or kicked out whatever. We have only darlings in the house. We don't have superficially luxury. But what we did was, when you have to do that, when you have to cut 15% of your overall budgets, you'll set some criteria and you'll define some priorities. And the priorities that we set was children, youth, drama, film, music, to make full use of the concert hall, because that would be ridiculous to build an expensive concert hall and cut our orchestras so we would have no music in it. That would be really contradictory. And new media, we haven't cut in new media, and we have kept a space for development on new media in order to distribute our content. So we set a list of criteria, and we count how much money do we need to fulfill the criteria. Then we add what we have to do, because there's a lot of stuff that the state have in details, too many details we sometimes believe, described, that we have to deliver. And we had some new wishes that we wanted to present to the audiences in the years to come, one being a history channel on television, one being a news channel on the internet, and one being a children's channel on television. These are all expensive wishes. So we have some wishes that nobody asked us to do. We have some duties that we cannot escape, and we had some priorities. And when we had financed these three things and the building, we had to cut on, not all the rest, but cut on the rest. And a new set of criteria and priorities have been done there. So this is best we could do of a professional criteria-based and priority-based sorting out what to do and what not to do. As I said the other day, and I'll repeat it over and over again each time you ask, we didn't start looking at devils amongst our program schedule and saying, features doesn't work, children's programs doesn't work, drama doesn't work, entertainment doesn't work, sports doesn't work, and so on. There's nothing that didn't work. But you don't get richer by having good ideas. And we are getting poorer, and we have to cut even in good ideas.
Elizabeth?
My name is Elisabeth Stratka from the Austrian Radio. When we learned to know you on Saturday at your opening speech, I think you could see our shock and grief, but what you couldn't see was our anger and the embarrassment. And I really have to say to you now that the speech you've held on Saturday, it was one of the most disgusting and most cynical speeches I've ever heard. Because what you said about feature being your darling, what I can express is that feature is nobody's darling. Feature is a relevant, important genre. And if you are going to cut it out from the Danish program, then the Danish program is going to be less relevant and important, and your audience will punish you for that.
Thanks very much.
Edwin Bries, Belgian radio. A few years ago, they closed down at our station the radio drama department, and it was a big shock. And on the one hand, we could understand that, some people of us, because those pieces were very long, not many listeners, we didn't have that many listeners. It was closed down. And then suddenly, 2 years later, at the pop channel, they created, in fact, radio drama without knowing what it was, but with actors, direction, text, and so on. And it is like some genres are so deeply radio text, music, storytelling, that suddenly it will come back. It will pop up. And of course, we feel very like in a schizophrenic situation now, celebrating the genre and at the same time experiencing what is happening here. But there's another point. I think the basic of features is it relates, it reports on what is, in the broadest sense of the word, boiling in society, in human beings. In a reportage, you can talk about what was happening, when and where. The feature is more about how did it happen, or when or why, and how could it come so far. It is about human processes. It's giving, in fact, a voice to the citizen. And I'm a little bit afraid that we would lose this aspect. And so don't let the Hindenburg fall down. And a radio station, I expect from a broadcasting company to have enough creativity to find a solution. And of course, you must do something, but to find creative solutions to at least to keep these skills, that anyhow you will need them if you are going cross-medial, because it's such a richness of creativity, inspiration, quality of research, that's very useful for the future, I think. And by the way, yesterday we presented the EBU Master School. I want to give you a gift, offer a gift. Behind any gift there's mostly no idea. For me, there is a little idea. This is a kind of investment in the future of 13 young people from Europe for the radio feature, and 3 of them are from Denmark Radio.
Thanks very much.
Sorry, can I give the mic to the colleague back there?
Hello. Yes, my name is Neil Trevithick from the BBC in England. I agree with much of what's been said here just now. Scarily for me, the BBC is also building a huge new broadcasting house in the centre of London, which has taken a long time and cost a huge amount of money. But we've also launched a very large investment in training recently in the BBC, which is called Creative Futures. And we're busy broadcasting on all media platforms to the extent that competitors in Britain are getting upset and angry at us because we're doing it so much. We're right on top of what we think we ought to be doing. But the centrepiece of the millions of pounds that we're investing in the creative future of the BBC is storytelling. Storytelling is the mantra which is going around now. And the hard men who run the finances and therefore our future in radio, not the producers speaking from the heart, have decided that we very nearly lost the art of storytelling, so that even our news was becoming boring. And they've also discovered that the root, that the well, if you like, where storytelling survives, is in features departments. And features departments have an influence that spreads out through an organization. They're ripples move out, and they create all sorts of influences which aren't seen often by the hard men and women at the top of these organizations. They're very, very important. And the way things are done elsewhere in a large media organization is often as a direct influence, sometimes beneath the surface, of what goes on in features departments. So I think it's really important to understand that where there are priorities, sometimes mistakes can be made in deciding what those priorities are. So the BBC is cutting nursery care for the children of its employees. It's cutting all sorts of things, but it has decided that feature making and storytelling are important. I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on here. I think it's very clever to talk about the 60-minute feature as something that's not going to survive or is not in the future. Well, you know, I make 20-minute features and 45-minute features and 10-minute features. And just because it's 60 minutes doesn't mean that it's something that we can't do something else. And finally, I'd say that in the clips that were played at the beginning of this session, there was only one of those clips that actually shocked and surprised and sent people out into the streets rather than simply being a response to external events, and that, of course, was the War of the Worlds. It was the drama. It was the creative piece that created an effect. It's the only piece. All that other stuff was just a response.
Thank you. Oh. Do you want to respond, Lee?
I'm also taking that as a comment. I agree. We are cutting 20 million euros of investable future storytelling capabilities, including the future. Not due to disagreement with your statements.
Ulf.
I'm Ulf Kühler from Germany. I'm interested only in one aspect. I'm interested in your role as a director. What have you done, what have you personally done in your house to rescue the Documentar Zone, and why or why not?
No.
The decisions have been made internally in the editorial bodies, and I can't share that with you nor the public, but I have listed here the priorities that we have defined. And what we simply does in a situation like this as a management team is that just like you do in an editorial room when you have 20 ideas and you will balance them with each other in order to choose 18 and cut two. That's the thing we did. I could repeat the priorities that I have fought for and will defend.
On life.
You mean why I close down the group or why I don't invite them to the discussions about it?
No,
why I close down the group? Because we don't have money for it and because we have decided what to leave behind after a set of criterions that I already presented. I didn't start out not wanting to have documentaries or features. We didn't start out not wanting to have sports or entertainment or all the other aspects that we have closed down. I tried to save everything that we did. We do our decisions and our priorities in the managerial closed rooms. I can't share with you which other suggestions I made, which other suggestions others made. That would be talking about our colleagues' jobs. I won't do that publicly. That would be managerial, unethical, actually, to play hazard and to do card swapping on who should be fired, who should not be fired, who should and who said what. That would be poisonous to the organization.
Ronan?
I'm Ronan Kelly from Irish Radio in Dublin. I have one small observation that you might like to take to your board and maybe to the government. When I was a child growing up in Ireland and we entered the EU, we were taught only about one country, and the country was Denmark. We were told Ireland must be like Denmark. We must improve our standards of agriculture. We must market our products the way Danish bacon is marketed. We must look out to the world and embrace the new markets and accept the kind of changes that came. And I would suggest, just as an observation, and I saw that you had a slide about the long tail effect there, and that it offers new hope for us. But one of the things about the long tail effect is not just that there's content, but also that there's aggregators, that there's people who gather together good content and lead listeners into the good content. And I would suggest maybe to the Danish government that you would be better off putting the money into getting Denmark out on the web than building a concert hall out there that only a few people would get into.
Gisela.
My name is Gisela from Cologne, WDR. And I would like to know which opinion or which imagination you have for young radio listeners. Is there a philosophy in your house? Do you think they only will try to listen to the word by podcast? Because in Cologne, we had 10 years, we have a very popular channel, a very popular music channel. It's pop music all over the day. And every day, we have one word program, one documentary, one drama, one discussion, and so on. And this program is very popular. And 10 years ago, our director said, go to hell, we don't need your program because nobody will listen to your program. And after 10 years, now this program, it's every evening at 11 o'clock, It's something like an argument to say we are no commercial station, we are the station where people are paying for. So, and I think if you don't, if you are not courageous, if you not try to do these things, you will lose even your young listeners. And I don't know why you have no imagination and why you have no visions for young people. What will you offer to young people? How will you become your listeners for your fees? And how will you conduct them? If they are old, then they won't listen to Denmark's radio.
Would you like to answer?
When they are old, they will.
If they don't listen to you, if they are young,
yes, then you will then they won't
them.
Come back.
Yes.
Okay. No, I agree with you, they will not. Well, we care for young people. One of the priorities I set when we were setting priorities for this budget revision plan was young people, and storytelling is one of the parts of young people. Mm-hmm. It just happened to not be the feature group that will take that responsibility for the coming years. Mm-hmm. We'll do that on new media. Talking about this broadcasting at 11 p.m., we try and do that too. My only observation here is that if we have the choice not to hide away the programs in time schedules, but can deliver it for free pick downs on the internet, that will open up for more young listeners.
And sorry, Gisela, there are a lot of people who want to get in. Anyuta.
Hello. My name is Anyuta Kacheva, and I'm coming from Bulgarian National Radio. I'm a program manager of the only cultural program in the Bulgaria at all. So I think it's wrong is that taking an issue or topic of features and bring it out of what we can call a cultural matrix at all. Because the statement of lack of money have been done in a lot of countries a lot poorer than Bulgaria and a lot of countries a lot richer than Denmark. Yes, there are richer countries than Denmark. That's true. So why is important to put money in the culture? Because I think that's the only thing giving us actually fighting for peace and giving us alternatives and perspectives. I do like your introduction of the history of the Danish radio. What I really missed actually was the ordinary voices, because it was the retrospection of official voices, of voices of news, of the main news. But what the radio is doing is opposite of it. It's giving the chance of the other voices, 20 hours. And I think it's very important, actually. And yes, I do concern what's going to happen to the future. I don't know. I have no answer on that. How the radio will look out at all. Yes, that's true. It will be any kind of radio, E or on demand or wiki or whatever it is, yes. But one thing is sure, we can never know this because of the technology development, which happened very fast. But one thing is sure, that what happened at the end is that we are going to remain more and more lonely in our corners with all those old toys and tools, technological tools. And it's very important to be educated enough to bring the quality of life in those lonely corners. And I think that only culture it's possible to do this. So I think that it's very important to put money in the culture. Because I think that, and features included, because it's a part of the culture at all. Storytelling is the main. If it's going to be radio at all, something I'm not very sure, but it will be a storyteller. And I think that you ended with Einstein, and Einstein proves actually that time-space continuum is extremely flexible, which means that effects can come before causes. So I don't know which situation you choose to be right now.
Andre, I'm sorry, I'm not ignoring people. There are an awful lot of people in the room who want the microphones, and unfortunately, we are going to run out of time before I get around all of you. Can I ask you, please, to keep your questions or your remarks really brief.
Does it work? I'm Andrei, I'm coming from Russia. And actually, I can't tell you how poor life is in Russia in terms of radio, because we don't have any storytelling, we don't have any features. And one of the reasons we came here is to sort of establish ties with European feature-making community. And we've done this with our German colleagues, with others, and we really were very, very inspired by the idea of coming to Denmark to establish ties with and to invite people from Denmark to come to Russia and to sort of to show local journalists, Russian journalists, how featureism is being done. Because the richness, as far as I understand, of the European feature making is the variety of traditions. There is a German tradition, there is Scandinavian tradition, there is Italian tradition, French tradition, and so on and so forth. So to me, this the news came as a shock, because now I understand that we will not be able to actually to follow the Danish tradition, because there will be no Danish tradition. It will be terminated. Am I right?
If yeah, I guess you are right. We won't have a feature production for the coming years.
That's very sad.
Thomas?
We have the tradition still, though.
Thomas Nachtigall.
Thomas from WDR Cologne. I just am imagining what would happen if my boss would tell me such news. And I think it would be the same protest, but we wouldn't be in the same situation in Germany. There still would remain at least 8 or 9 other radio stations in German language room, which will still continuing producing features. But that's not the situation of Denmark. As far as I know, you are the only radio which is giving life to this genre. So you have in your hands this genre. You can live it alive or you can kill it. You spoke about killing your darling. My question is brief. Why do you kill them? Why didn't you find, or why are you not looking for a situation which will cut down a part of the budget, but will make it possible to make surviving these genres in Denmark?
I'm afraid the group and our potential is so small, so you can't have it and still have it survive. I think you need to have an environment. You have to need to have a milieu, a group. To have a tradition survive vividly.
I know, and what Life keeps saying is that they have elected to go for a particular option, and that he isn't at liberty here because of managerial ethics to discuss why they went for this option rather than other options. And I think We keep coming back to that basic question, and we're not going to get an answer here today. I think, you know, it's really like watching people talking past each other, because there are only so many ways you can ask the same question. Can I ask you, please, in taking the microphone to progress this discussion rather than going around in circles, which we're starting to do now?
I'm Henk from Holland, independent radio maker. I think in Holland, as I say, where there's a will, there is a way. And I don't feel that you have a will. But if you see it only as a money problem, I think you should also reconsider your calculations. Because in my calculation, approximately one feature documentary for television, you can make 20 radio features for that. There are 52 radio features made in Denmark per year. So you only have to cut back 2.5 television features and repeat some of them. They are of high quality. And you can still keep the radio feature for the rest of your life. It's very simple.
I would like to comment on this, because this is exactly the kind of discussions I would not accept to dig into. I guess that you wouldn't like that kind of discussion to be taken with your TV colleagues tomorrow. And if I'm called to the TV colleagues tomorrow and discuss what's worthwhile spending money on, Sorry. In your case, I would be happy not to be the subject of the debate.
I didn't say you have to cut back all the TV programs and all the TV features, just 2.5 on a year basis, to keep 52 radio documentaries. So it's a really reasonable question.
I think the question is, why was there not a more equitable form of cutbacks right across the organization? Why, and I don't know whether you can say this here, why have you focused on really removing genres rather than cutting right across the board? Can you say something on this?
One of the methods used when one is about to fulfill the task of identifying 15% budget cut in any organization, it's one of the rules of thumb that I subscribe to. To instead of using what we call a stupid green harvester that would take 15% of everything, doing everything 15% cheaper, destroying everything. I don't know the English phrases for this, but having 15% on the overall budget roll out over each and every account, each and every genre, that would ruin the whole thing. That would make everything worse. So one of the rules of thumb we have used, and I will defend, is in order to find, say, 300 million, you should rather find 10 million 30 times than 1 million 300 times, because that would ruin the future of the whole company. There are areas in this organization that can't run faster, that can't do cheaper, that can't do more for the same. They are saved because others are sacrificed. That's what priorities are about, and management as well. We have 5 years of experience with sharing our cutdowns on all departments, asking them all to become 2% poorer year by year for years. And everybody, I guess, will agree that this was a painful process that couldn't continue on a 15% basis, department by department. That's why we take big chunks, like, for instance, sport, one decision, one department, totally destroyed. But that leaves us with perhaps 20% of the money we reached out for.
Berit?
That's about as close as I can go.
I'm Berit Hedman from the Norwegian documentary department. Dear Lens, I suppose that you have heard now why everyone is so angry and sad about you cutting down the radio feature in Denmark. I suppose you have understood now the importance of features, of radio features, for democracy and for the listeners and for the organization and for the medium. For the radio medium, because when you make features, then radio features, then you really make the basics in radio making, which you can learn all the rest, which you can teach to the rest of your organization. So what I want to say is that I hope that you now want and have a will to try to find a way to save this knowledge which is there in your organization, which is in the feature department here, in other ways in your organization, to save the network in Denmark's radio for feature making, to save the knowledge there, and to save the international network so that we don't have to miss the Danish knowledge in our international network in the coming years. I know from Norwegian radio that we are really very valued in our organization because we know so much about storytelling and about radio as a medium. And you really could make use of these people here to make your new radio a fresh one, but then you have to find new ways to organize it. And I'm really very sad when you say that there will be no feature making in the future. I really hope that you will say there will be feature making in the future, but in other ways, in other departments. I hope that, Lens.
Thank you, Berit. Christa, and then Anne-Marie. And can I ask you please to keep Christa?
Christa, no.
Anne-Marie?
All right.
Can I? Okay. Hang on a minute. Can the woman in front of you have the microphone first and then you?
Anne-Marie Power from RTE Radio. It's really just the same variation. I was just wondering all week
why it has to be all or nothing. I mean, I understand you have to downsize your documentary department at the moment, but I wonder, why is it hung up on the 60-minute feature? In our department, we just have two producers and a researcher, and we still manage to produce a 40-minute documentary every week. And I just wonder why we couldn't move it from a 60-minute feature to a 30-minute that perhaps went out every second week, so that you downsize your department significantly, but you adapt to these new challenges and still keep the essence and of the feature alive. That's it.
I acknowledge the question. This is what it's all about, the choices. If I cut 30% of the feature group, I should find what is equivalent of the 70% by shutting down other genres. More cheap genres, the more groups and programs of it. More expensive genres, the fewer. This is all the priorities and balances that we've been through, which I can't dig further into. But I acknowledge the question. This is actually, you're deep into my into my box of tools. Okay. So this is what we have been considering. This is what we have discussed. There are departments that we have halved. There are departments that we have quartered. And there are departments that will survive. There are even departments that will become more expensive the coming years. This is what priorities is about. The feature group fell out. There will be storytelling still. There will be flow radio still. There'll be content still. There'll be stories from everyday's life still to put into the archives, to broadcast live, to make available on new media, and to put into the future archives. Some days may be features as well, but we can't continue. We can't pay the feature group for the years to come.
Okay. The Polish colleague, and then Leo.
Okay. I'm the manager of one of stations, Polish Public Radio. And as a colleague, I suppose I would like to ask you, to reconsider it. Why? My basic question is, what if you're wrong? You know, this is, in my opinion, this is capital punishment. You won't make it up. You won't organize it again in a matter of, say, 1-2 years if it collapsed now. So just, I think, reconsider it.
I'm going to give the microphone to Leo. Are there people who want to speak who have something to say that has not been said? Okay, so Leo, and then it's Dime, yeah?
It's Leo Braun. I am talking on behalf of PriEuropa, which covers TV, radio, and internet. Fiction, non-fiction, current affairs, short film, long films. And I want to talk about vitality. In PriEuropa, the most fertile, productive, and vital field are the documentaries. We receive each year 300 TV documentaries. We accept maybe 35. The biggest group in PriEuropa, the most passionate one, professionally sincere, are the radio doc people. Large groups, sauna groups, as we call them, sweating out togetherness and criticism. And this is something you should understand. In the field of feature, there is a network of belonging and productivity. And I mean, a manager must be deadly afraid to lose this kind of a heart of an organization. Heart and spine and whatsoever. If I have such a team, it's like a powerful car. I can drive it in many directions, but I don't park it.
I just want to direct this back to multi-platforms a little bit here. I'm from America where nobody wants to fund arts and culture and public radio. Okay, so we've had to be very creative about finding alternative resources to fund, especially what I want to do, which is documentaries. So my question is, are you using these multi-platforms, these new platforms, to find alternative revenue? Now, it may seem crass, but why give it away? Why not save your features department and charge for podcasting, underwriting, you know, streaming? Why not try to save it in a business sense? I hate business. I'm not mathematical, you know. But I'll do business if I can produce what I want to produce. So are you seeking those alternative revenue sources?
Like, we are not allowed to charge the listeners, no.
Then talk to your government then and change the damn laws, you know. You've got to be allowed. If the government is going to start cutting funding, then you've got to be allowed to seek those sources.
Actually, former governments have suggested that we took payment for radio and TV broadcasts instead of license fees. I'm in favor of license fees because that makes rich and poor listeners alike.
Okay, I think we will have to leave it there. I think we're not going to progress this discussion any further. Very short. Jan has spoken.
I just want to know, how do you think this will affect democracy? Because a feature is always the first thing they close down when a country becomes like a dictatorship, you know? So how do you think?
I think democracy in Denmark is deteriorating and have been deteriorating many times in history, with or without features. I think the democracy, the way we have it, can survive even without the radio feature group of Danish Broadcasting Corporation, I might say. But it's a loss. There are lots of losses. I'm going from here to other groups like this one to defend other cores, other hearts, other bleeding decisions on other core values on public service. I'm sorry, we have to do that, and I'm not diminishing, and neither did I mean to diminish the problem when talking about Darlings the other day at the opening. I said I understood your anger, and anger is better than sadness because anger is an active feeling, and I hope you keep that active feeling in you. And I said, I listened to you. It would be nice if you listened. I said that the radio feature will not be in Danish radio, and DR will not be the same without the radio features. But I'm convinced that the radio feature will survive even without DR. I hope it will. We are handing over the baton to you. You'll take it as we had it when BBC had no features, when NRK had no features. The feature is stronger than Danish radio in order to survive. That's my best hope. I didn't come here to be popular. I didn't make decisions to become popular. And I didn't join management of Danish Broadcasting Corporation to become popular. So I'm happy that you listened to me and that you invited me.
Well, I think
ask for understanding.
I think we really are going to have to leave it there because this is deteriorating and there's absolutely nothing to be gained. I think, Life, you can go away from this meeting both with our thanks and with a message to your management colleagues of really a very strong sense of anger and dismay coming from the international features community. We have valued our Danish colleagues and their contribution over the years greatly, and it will be a very sorry loss and something that we will miss very much. So if you can take that message back to your colleagues, perhaps, you know, the discussion can continue at a level where decisions can be made.
Thank you very much.